How do you do? As people lack wisdom and families disintegrate, parental kidnapping or abandonment of children has increased, causing distress. The woman in this story and her sister were illegally snatched, leading to fear and shame as she grew up. But fear and shame were wiped away when her heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Lights. There's a police car outside. Somehow they tracked us here.
They're after the girls, aren't they?
Hey, help me stuff something in their mouth so they can't say nothing. Hurry, Betty.
Open up, Danny. I know you have the girls and I want them back. I have a state patrolman with me. Open the door.
Open up in there.
What are we gonna do?
Shh. Take the girls to the bedroom and keep them quiet.
You said you were just taking them around the block, Danny. You kidnapped my girls, you liar!
Open up or face prosecution.
We'll be back with a court order, Danny. You're not keeping my daughters.
What are we gonna do?
First thing in the morning, we'll go to Texas. She won't find us there.
Bearing the good news via true life stories of real people, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Besides being tired from lack of sleep, homeless people are often hungry and thirsty. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night, welcoming those who have nowhere to rest. Thanks to friends who send financial gifts, the mission offers a safe bunk for the night, nourishing meals and fresh clothing, all without charge to those without means. Even medical and dental treatment is given to resident guests in the mission clinic. Pastors and counselors introduce them to the one who neither sleeps nor slumbers, who offers the bread of life to every hungry soul. Meeting him makes all the difference. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3252 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
When Dad gets back, he won't let Betty be so mean to you, Tricia.
I don't think he's coming back, Dee.
He's been gone a long time, but he always comes back.
Not this time. I heard Betty talking to a friend about divorcing Dad.
Oh, no.
There's nothing to keep her from being really mean to me now.
Why is she like that anyway?
She's not really our mother.
She's not? Who is our mother then? Why don't we go to her?
Betty said she's dead, but I remember our real mama coming to get us, and Dad wouldn't open the door. They stuffed rags in our mouths and made us keep real quiet till she went away. The next day, we took a long ride on a bus.
I don't remember any of that.
You were only two. Don't tell Betty this.
No.
You know she'll beat me.
This dramatic revelation set in motion events that led to deliverance for the woman in our story. This is the true testimony of Denise Donovan, right now on Unshackled.
I have few good memories of my early years. I was born in Brooklyn, but my parents separated when I was two and my sister was six. My father met Betty in a bar and persuaded her to help him kidnap us, taking us to Beaumont, Texas, the port city where he found work as a seaman. Dad and Betty were both alcoholics, and I only have two memories of my father, who sailed all over the world on big ships, leaving us with Betty, who was mentally unstable. I thought she was my mother.
Why hasn't he sent me money? He hasn't even called. How am I supposed to feed you two anyway, huh? Don't look at me like that, you little snot. It's your dad's fault we don't have any food in the house, so don't blame me. I can't even call him.
I'll fix him. Now he can't call me either.
The phone she ripped out of the wall became my toy as I pretended to be a secretary. Betty worked as a barmaid and left me alone sometimes while Tricia was at school. I was afraid and felt unwanted. Betty was always mean to my sister and once dragged Tricia around by her ponytails. She spared me because she felt that I looked like Dad. He was gone from our lives by the time I was 10. The same year, Tricia told me Betty wasn't our real mother. That's also the year a neighborhood bully challenged me to fight. Tricia spent the afternoon teaching me what to do.
Remember, Dee, trip her as soon as you can. Then hold her down and keep her down. You have to fight to win, understand?
Oh.
Don't be afraid. Just hit her as hard as you can, as much as you can.
Surrounded by kids who were cheering for the bully, I won that fight, coming away with only a torn shirt. We were always poor, and I felt ashamed. We had a kitten that was injured, but Betty wouldn't take her to a vet, so I watched for days as the kitten bled to death. We also had a cocker spaniel that disappeared. Betty told us the dog ran away, adding to our feeling of abandonment. Betty did strange things. Sometimes she wore pageboy wigs backward and tried putting a curse on Tricia. Once when I was homesick, Betty's friend Uncle Bill took care of me. He cooked for me, but it tasted awful. I didn't eat it. I was 11 when Betty married again, and we went to visit the family of her new husband, Charlie.
The seafood gumbo smells so good.
I can't eat any.
Sure you can.
No, I'm allergic to seafood, remember?
You're not allergic to seafood.
Yes, I am.
Drink the broth and you'll be okay.
I'm afraid to.
Do as I say. See? I told you so. Ah, stop it. You're just trying to get attention.
She can't breathe. She'll die.
Should we call an ambulance, Betty?
No. Do you have any anti-allergy pills?
They found the pills and got half of them down my throat as I gasped for air. Finally, it worked. Charlie was Betty's fourth husband, an alcoholic who often beat her. She finally had him arrested and we all went to court. Betty coached us to make shocked faces if certain things were said, so Charlie was sent to jail. Afterward, Betty drove around outside listening to him yell from his cell.
Betty, I'll get you for this!
Listen to him! We fixed him, didn't we?
Betty, we'll get out!
Let's go home.
No, I'm enjoying this.
Charlie's getting out of jail, and he'll come back here.
He doesn't live here anymore, so don't worry about it.
He swore he'd get us.
Please, take us somewhere safe.
He can't get in. The door is locked.
The back is just a skeleton key. He'll come in through the porch.
I'll hook the screen door.
Sure enough, during the night, Charlie cut the screen and came into the house. Tricia handed me a baseball bat and told me to hit Charlie, but I was so terrified that I handed the bat to him and ran out the door where I hid in a bush in the front yard. Charlie beat Betty, breaking her ribs and giving her black eyes. Then he cut her hair. Even so, they left together to go to a bar. Shivering with fear, I ran to a neighbor's house and they took me in. Morning came.
Where did you go last night?
I ran to a house down the street, and a nice man let me in. I was shivering so much he put his suit coat around me, even though his wife didn't want to get involved.
I don't blame her, but you were supposed to help fight Charlie.
I was too scared. I thought he was going to kill me.
I don't get it. He beats her up, and she goes out to a bar with him.
This morning, she bragged that everyone at the bar loved the new hairdo that Charlie gave her.
You wait and see. She'll find a reason to blame me for something.
Sure enough, Betty beat my sister for leaving the scissors out where Charlie found them. Tricia loved to sew and made me clothes, so I felt better about myself. I finally got eyeglasses in the 7th grade and was shocked to see individual blades of grass and leaves and trees. Now, wire frames were popular then, but Betty changed the frames to horn-rimmed glasses with jewels in the corners that I wouldn't dare wear to school, so I couldn't see for years. One day, I had a bad accident and called Betty at work.
I'm busy, Denise. What do you want?
My friend was pulling me in a grocery cart behind his bicycle, and something went wrong.
Mm-hmm. I think you're lying.
No, I'm not. I can't straighten my right knee to walk. Please, please take me to the doctor.
I'm at work. I can't leave just because you have some imaginary pain.
It's not imaginary. Please, I'm in so much pain.
No, you're You're making it up.
I was unable to walk for the next 3 days. Betty bought a bar, so we moved to a different neighborhood into a large apartment complex, but it was overrun with roaches. A friend from school moved there, too, while their house was being repaired after a fire. They were kind to me, so I told them about my stepmother and our miserable lives. They sent me to a religious leader at a mainline church. He didn't feel I needed help because I seemed happy.
I went to see the same man, and I cried my eyes out, but he still wouldn't help us.
Life isn't fair.
Oh, I can't wait to leave here.
You're a lot closer to freedom than I am.
Has Betty told you that she's not our real mother?
Yes. I pretended to be surprised.
Whatever you do, don't tell her that I'm dating John.
I won't.
She's always busy at that beer joint she bought, so I'm not too worried. Besides, she has no right to stop me from dating.
So you're sneaking around behind my back, Trisha, dating John. Did you think I wouldn't find out?
I have a right to have friends, just like other girls.
You disobeyed me.
I'm 16, and besides, you're not my mother anyway.
She didn't want you, and neither did your dad. They just didn't want the other one to have you.
I don't believe you.
Get out! Get out of my house right now, and don't come back.
Gladly.
Don't think you're taking anything with you, either. Just get out!
See you later, Dee.
Denise? If you run away, I'll have you thrown in juvenile detention!
Denise had an advocate, as we'll hear in just a moment. A listener writes, "A few times each year, I travel the corridor between Cleveland and Cincinnati. I surf the radio to find your program as I travel." Well, we have good news for every listener. You don't have to surf. We've published a radio log that lists the stations that carry our program, and the log is free. Just write and ask. It's small enough to take along, yet details alphabetically by state and city the call letters, frequency, day of the week, and time of day you can listen to Unshackled, so you can plan your trip accordingly. Wherever you go, you'll be able to hear another gripping testimony that reveals God's amazing provision and His love for His people. So don't leave Unshackled behind. Write and ask for our free radio log. You can access the same information on our website, www.unshackled.org. Just click on Radio Log. To get your free radio log, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org.
I was 12 years old when Betty evicted my 16-year-old sister who went to live with her boyfriend's family. Betty was gone every day, running her beer joint, so I was on my own. I did all the grocery shopping, cooked, washed clothes at the local laundromat, and cleaned the apartment. I also walked to and from school every day. Betty didn't come home until midnight, but on Sundays, she and her fifth husband, Eric, were home all day. Could I please have some more roast beef?
What's that on your plate?
Gristle.
Well, eat that before you get any more.
But it's gristle.
You're making that up. It's not gristle. Eat it.
Never mind. I don't want any more.
I'll cut you another piece of roast beef, Denise.
I said no.
Don't be so stingy.
I'm the boss around here.
Ow!
Betty stabbed Eric with the carving fork, and he ran to wash away the blood. I left the table, the argument, and the gristle behind. I was 16 then, and been hearing talk about the Jesus movement, how some of my peers were giving their lives to Jesus. I wondered how anyone could give his life to someone he couldn't see or touch. Curiosity sent me to several churches looking for the answer.
Why would God send his only son to earth to die a hideous death by crucifixion? Jesus didn't die for his own sin. He died for mine and yours. You see, the Bible says in Psalm 14, "They are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." We try to change, but can't because the flesh is weak, and sin is in everyone that is born. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Since we couldn't save ourselves, God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, sent Jesus to cleanse us from our sin and make a way for us to come to God. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus willingly came to save us. He knew he would die for our sins, predicting his own death as the Son of Man. He said in Luke chapter 18, "For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on. And they shall scourge him and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again."
I heard about Jesus, but didn't know how to find him anywhere. So I joined a youth group, and we went on a hayride one night. A cute boy my age climbed on and began talking to a little girl.
This is the kind of thing Jesus would do. He'd hang out with young people and sinners. He said, "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance."
You talk as if you know him, like a person in your school.
I do. He's my Savior. Jesus said, "He that hath seen me hath seen the Father."
How do people give their lives to Jesus?
The Bible says, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day."
I don't understand.
Pray to him, Denise. He will guide you.
How can you be sure of that?
It's in the Bible. Read the New Testament and see for yourself. In the Gospel of John, chapter 5, Jesus said, "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Would you like to give your life to Jesus right now?
No, not now.
I really don't know why I started weeping, but I went home that night and read my Bible.
"No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life."
Home alone the next day, I felt as if God's words were pounding in my heart. I ran to my bedroom and cried for an hour. I had already stolen things from stores and cursed shamelessly. I knew that I was sinful and needed Jesus. So I repented of my sins and asked him to forgive my sins and come to live inside of me. Betty, I want to tell you something.
Well, speak up.
I asked Jesus to save me and come to live inside of me.
Why'd you do that?
Because I want God to guide my life.
Oh, you're not going to become a religious nut, are you?
No, but I feel different, so special now. After I prayed, it was like I could see my dead body where I had been praying. I feel such peace. I didn't know that the Bible says, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I just knew that I felt clean inside, and I wanted to tell the whole world. A short time after that, Betty and Eric didn't come home. Day after day, I waited. We had no phone, so I walked to a friend's apartment and called Tricia, who was married.
What's going on, Denise?
Betty and Eric have been gone a week.
A week?
Yes. I have no food, no money. I don't know what to do.
Oh, pack your things. John will come and get you.
Betty said she'd put me in a juvenile home if I ever run away.
You're not running away. You've been abandoned.
I never learned why Betty and Eric were gone so long, because I never saw them again. Betty didn't come after me in spite of her threats. I continued to live with Tricia and her husband John while I went to high school.
Are you off to church again?
Yes.
You go to church a lot, Denise.
I love the Lord and the people at the church.
When did this all happen?
Just before I came to live with you. I'm born again, Tricia.
No, I wish people wouldn't use that expression.
But it describes perfectly what happens when you trust in Jesus to save you. He comes to live inside of you, and you're a new person.
Oh, that's rubbish.
It's true. I know, because the Bible says so, and because it happened to me. Confirms it.
I don't want to hear that stuff, Denise.
I got a part-time job working for a chain of theaters while I finished school. Also, I trained in vocational office education and was awarded Student of the Year when I was a senior.
Well, you graduate this year.
I'm ready.
Don't bother going to college. You can share an apartment with somebody and work full-time. I'll help you find roommates.
Actually, I plan to share a house with some Christian friends.
Oh, what a bad idea.
I like them, and we can grow in the Lord together.
I don't want you ruining your life with a bunch of religious nuts.
Tricia, it's my life, and this is best for me.
That's how you repay me after all I did for
you. I appreciate all you've done.
Well, you've gotten stubborn since you got religion.
I have to follow the Lord. I can't follow anyone else.
If you don't do as I say, you can just leave my house.
Tricia didn't speak to me for a year. I worked as a secretary and shared a home with my Christian friends. I didn't date much, but we prayed that God would lead us to the right person someday. A year later, I had a car wreck, after which Tricia reached out to me again. I was 24 and working at a bank when I met Harry. I didn't like him at first, but he kept calling, and my roommates told me to give him a chance.
How do you know your mother is dead, Denise?
Betty said she was.
Maybe she was lying.
I hadn't thought of that.
Have you tried looking for her?
No. I wouldn't know where to start.
Her name should be on your birth certificate. And if she's really dead, there would be a death certificate somewhere.
We were born in Brooklyn, New York.
What your dad did was despicable. Kidnapping you like that.
I never had a chance to learn why. He disappeared when I was 10. I will try searching for my mother, and maybe God will help me find her.
God is important to you, isn't he?
I couldn't live without him. Harry had been married before and wasn't saved, so I should have stayed away from him, but he talked with a leader at my church and professed faith in Christ. He attended church with me, so we married. Right away, he quit going to church. 4 years later, our first daughter was born, and I stopped working. 4 years after that, our second daughter was born. I began searching for my mother and found her. I traveled to upstate New York to see her. She was 55 years old and grossly overweight at 350 pounds.
Hello?
Well, Tricia, I saw Mama.
How'd it go?
It was strange. I mean, I thought I might remember her, but I didn't.
How could you remember her? You were only 2 the last time you saw her.
Yeah, but I thought some memory of her would be stirred.
I don't really remember her either.
She remarried and had a son 4 years younger than I, but now she's a widow. She's like a stranger to me.
You can't go back, Dee. Did she shed any light on why Dad and Betty kidnapped us?
No, probably to avoid child support.
Well, Now you have closure, as they say.
Yes, I guess you're right. I had been married 11 years when Harry filed for a divorce. He married his lover 60 days later, the same day our divorce was final. We didn't share the same values, but I know I wasn't all that I could have been, and we didn't communicate well at all. Although life was very difficult caring for my daughters alone, I went back to work and raised my girls. One of my daughters is married, and the other is in medical school. Harry died a few years ago. While I was working as the office manager for a large refinery, I felt led to work with a ministry that operates a hospital ship that serves the poorest and neediest people around the world. I love the ministry. God is faithful, and He has become my husband. As Psalm 27 says, "When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up."
But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Listening friend, are you sitting in heavenly places, or do you live without hope? For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. You can have hope for the future, and peace with God now, when you ask Him to save you because Christ died for your sins. If you need help in making this crucial decision for Christ, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry, www.unshackled.org. I absolutely love your program, a listener emailed us. We thank you, and we hope you take a moment to thank the manager of this station for bringing you Unshackled. This is program number 3252, heard in the true story of Denise Donovan, where Nancy Sellers, Tricia Grennan, Pam Turlow, Michael Wallner, Marshall Bean, and Jeff Lupitan. Original music, Scott Griffin. Sound, Nadine Aloysio-Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script by Kenitha Gabler, and I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter is important to us. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.